This episode is brought to you by my colleagues and friends at the Tech in Asia Newsroom, who you can thank for all the stories we read about on the Asian tech and startup scene. More on that in a bit, but first, on with the show. Hello and welcome to Deep Dive, a show where we discuss the biggest headlines to hit the startup scene with the journalists who broke the stories. My name's Nat, and today we're going to talk about one of the latest additions to Singapore's Unicorn Club, innovation intelligence startup PatSnap. Founded just over 13 years ago by Jeffrey Tiong, the company's latest financing round brought in a capital injection of $300 million from lead investors SoftBank and Tencent, as well as some returning investors including Sequoia Capital and Vertex Ventures. My colleague Tay Tian Wen joins me for this story.
I think for me, at least, when I read PatSnap's journey, I thought it was quite interesting. After all, there are a few startups out there that, you know, grew into unicorns, or even started by founders straight out of college with like zero experience. Even more so in like a fast-paced industry like intellectual property, for example.
Right. I guess walk me through their story. Like what from the moment they were like launched all the way back so many years ago until now, like with all the milestones that they've come across along the way.
Sure. So the company was founded sometime back in 2007. That was after Jeffrey completed his undergraduate studies, if I remember correctly. So I think the genesis of PatSnap, it first came about when Jeffrey was doing his stint in the NUS Overseas Colleges program in Silicon Valley. So if I remember correctly, the startup that he was attached with, he was doing a bit of R&D research for them, and that gave him the idea of coming up with such a platform. So initially they targeted like corporate legal departments, but they didn't really get much traction out of it. And when that light bulb came was a conversation with staff who worked in an R&D department at one of the companies they were pitching their services to. And that kind of led them to discover this huge corporate R&D market that the product was probably more aligned with. And I think that's how PatSnap really took off.
Right. So you mentioned this earlier. I think innovation intelligence, right? A fast-paced industry. But for the uninitiated, how exactly does innovation intelligence work? You know, like what is innovation intelligence?
Right. So to be fair, innovation intelligence is quite a broad term, actually. So if you search innovation intelligence on the internet, you're bound to get a lot of definitions out there. But from my conversations with Quantin and what I gather from desk research, I think it refers to the discovery of ideas and processes and combinations of these ideas and processes to derive new insights. So the applications of innovation intelligence aren't really limited to any particular industry. It's not like, I deal with intellectual property, so I have to use innovation intelligence. It's actually quite useful to any industry or company, actually, especially since we see more technologies converging today. Innovation intelligence products and services can help companies comb through more information and help them discover relevant insights a lot quicker.
Right, right. So can you, I guess, give some examples of, for example, you said A-Star was one of their first clients, one of PatSnap's first clients, right? How exactly were they using PatSnap's service?
So I think PatSnap's service has evolved quite a bit over the years. When PatSnap first started, they weren't actually in innovation intelligence. They were solely in intellectual property analytics. So that's like the analysis of patents or trademarks, for example. For innovation intelligence, it's a lot broader than that.
PatSnap is a platform, is an enabler. We are an innovation intelligence provider.
Here's a snippet of Tianwen's interview with Quantian, one of PatSnap's other co-founders.
We work directly with the clients, those technology companies like Tesla, like Xiaomi, like even organizations like NUS, A-Star. But we also work with a lot of IP lawyers.
So they do like innovation landscaping. So some of the software actually shows data visualizations of the innovation landscape in a particular industry. So let's say a company searches a particular keyword, right? And then they generate all these visualizations and they can figure out what their competitors are working on, what are the latest developments in their field, for example. But essentially, it's all about understanding, okay, what are the latest developments in my industry? What are my competitors working on? And what kind of innovations should I be working on as a company in this field?
Right. So it's basically kind of a blueprint for like what's been done, what's being done, and like what's there left to, I guess, capitalize on, right?
Yep, that's a pretty concise summary right there.
IP analytics and innovation intelligence aren't something you hear about every day, much less so in 2007. As with most early movers, that gave PatSnap a pretty big advantage.
So I think for PatSnap, they're quite an early mover in the field of both IP analytics and innovation intelligence. In fact, when I spoke with Guan Tian, she did mention that PatSnap was one of the pioneers of this field here in Southeast Asia.
If you talk about innovation intelligence, it's a rather new category, so we do not see any companies doing exactly the same.
And I think being the first mover actually gave them a huge advantage.
Really, we do not see anyone, at least not in the SaaS space. Maybe some consulting firm is solving part of the problem, but rather new space.
Got it. So they managed to snag their first two customers in 2009. That probably wasn't far from where they got that idea to venture into corporate R&D. And following these two customers, the kind of customers they're serving right now is huge. It's not just in Singapore. You're talking about companies like NASA, Vodafone, or Xiaomi, for example. In terms of funding, as I mentioned earlier, that they have no issues with funding either.
But while PatSnap is in a good place now in terms of funding, that wasn't always the case, especially in the early days of its operations. In a 2018 interview with Tech in Asia, Jeffrey said that raising money was pretty difficult because no one seemed to think that his startup would make money.
In the early stages of the company, they had like really, really limited finances. The company only started with 50,000 Singapore dollars in grant money. And I think in order to stretch their finances, they actually made this decision to move to China. And even there, they took extreme measures like switching off the heater during winter to save on utility costs. And being in China came with its own set of challenges as well. Because things do move a lot faster over there. Competition is definitely more intense.
I do understand that Jeffrey did mention something about moving at China speed and like how PatSnap is trying to adapt like really quickly to...
Where did you read this? Moving at China speed.
And I think for PatSnap at that time, it was really sink or swim for them. So they had to adapt like really quickly.
And why was it so sink or swim for them? Like, was it difficult for them to... like kick things off?
Yeah, so this was an anecdote that was shared by Jeffrey, actually, the other co-founder. He didn't really give much details as to what kind of struggles they experienced in China. He just said, things are like a lot more cutthroat over there. It's a hyper-competitive tech industry, and that's why they had to move a lot faster to stay ahead of the competition.
We'll be right back. Liking the story so far? If you want to know more about all things tech and startup, head over to Tech in Asia's website and become a subscriber. There you'll get access to in-depth insight on the ins and outs of the Asian tech and startup scene, all for just the cost of a cup of coffee every day. Honestly, that's a lot of information and data for so reasonable a price. So head on down to techin.asia/sub and get access to all you can read about companies like, let's see, PatSnap, featured in this episode, Fave, which just got acquired this week, Grab, which recently announced its plans to go public in the largest SPAC deal yet, and so many more. Go ahead and subscribe. You can thank me later. But now, back to the show. To scrimp what little money they had, the PatSnap team moved to China, where living expenses were lower and developers cost less to hire. Even then, the team had to switch off the heater in the apartment they all shared to save electricity. And founder Jeffrey Tiong told Tech in Asia in a 2018 interview that it was even warmer outside than it was in the apartment.
I guess, when was the point that they could turn their heaters back on?
That's probably when they started getting funding. So probably when they got like their first round of funding from Vertex Ventures.
So we have been observing the company for quite a while. We were aware.
So I was speaking to Carmen Yuan, who is a partner at Vertex Ventures. She mentioned that that Vertex Ventures was actually monitoring PatSnap for a while already.
And when we saw them, what they presented was actually to tackle the R&D and IP space. At that time, it was relatively new in Singapore.
And then when PatSnap finally reached out to them for investment, they had a certain degree of confidence that PetSnap was able to deliver on what they on what they're proposing.
Right, right. And what was kind of behind that confidence? Like, what did Vertex see in PetSnap that, you know, told them this was a worthwhile investment?
So, as I mentioned earlier, PetSnap began with like really little funding. It's like 50,000 Singapore dollars in seed funding. And that's something that Vertex Ventures took note as well.
And even though they had very little funding, they were able to scale their clients in China and also some quality brands in the US. Example, NASA. Okay. So, because of that,
being able to achieve the kind of scale, sort of funding was something that really caught Vertex's attention.
Right, right. So it's basically the way the founders were able to make very little money do a lot for the company that really gave Vertex that kind of confidence that this was a founding team worth investing in.
Yeah, I think you could say that. On the other hand, it's like Vertex also believes that intellectual property is going to be like a commonality, a common denominator across all sorts of companies and industries. So speaking to Keylock from Vertex as well, I think he mentioned something about, oh, like PetSnap is creating this platform around intellectual property, right? And he essentially sees that platform as a sort of gold mine.
The fact that you are building a the solutions, database and all the platform around intellectual property. So in a way, you are creating a gold mine, right?
Right.
So the data is very important.
And in this particular gold mine, there's no limit to it because everyone's going to get on board eventually. IP is going to get more serious. And PetSnap, being this platform that does everything IP-related, is going to, you know, really ride on this wave.
After its Series A round with Vertex Ventures in 2014, more money started pouring in from investors in the following years, with participation from prominent VCs like Sequoia Capital, Shunwei Capital, and Qualgrow. When PetSnap was raising its recent Series E round, it took the company's founder less than half an hour to convince SoftBank's Masayoshi Son to invest in him.
So now, I guess, as a unicorn, or you know, when they eventually started serving larger clients, you know, how different, I guess, is the PetSnap of today compared to the PetSnap that started by a founder fresh out of university?
So for one, the product coverage, definitely. So initially, it was just purely IP analytics, and now with innovation intelligence, you're talking about a whole suite of services that focus on a lot more than just patents. In terms of the team as well, so it initially is definitely like a skeleton crew, right? You're talking about like a team of less than 10, for example. Today, the company has about 800 employees around the world. And in terms of revenue, I think they're making about $40 million a year today.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a lot, right?
It is. I mean, compared to the early days, it's a world of a difference. The company isn't profitable yet.
Okay.
And I think how Quantian justifies the company's financial performance is their focus is more on growth for now. So they're willing to sacrifice like current profitability for future growth, which they're confident of being able to capture.
Right, right. And well, I guess, you know, that whole journey, you know, PetSnap kind of growing from a out of university idea, moving to China to kind of save on operational costs, really doing stuff like turning off the heater during the winter and stuff like that.
Mm.
What part of this whole story really makes PetSnap's journey stand out from other success stories that we've heard of startups over the past few months or years?
So I think for me, it's the fact that PetSnap satisfies three criteria, I suppose. So for one, it's a unicorn, right? But being a unicorn, it's nice, but it's not the only unicorn out there. But I think what makes PetSnap even more special, it started right out of college with no experience. They're talking about a SaaS startup in a rapidly changing space. And I think even Jeffrey himself also kind of knows this, that there's only like a handful of founders who started SaaS startups like straight out of college. So I think that itself is a pretty rare thing to have.
Right. And I guess coupled with the fact that, you know, not a lot of startups actually last for more than 10 years. That the fact that PetSnap was able to weather more than 10 years and become a unicorn is quite a testament to the business itself.
Definitely. And I mean, like, they started back in 2007. So that has been like 13 years, more than 13 years for the company. And speaking to Quantian, she even says that, oh, 13 years, it's been a series of highs and lows for them. And right now, they're just getting started on really building the company to where they want to get it to be. And I think that was something that really struck me as well.
You know, on that note, what are these plans that PatSnap has, you know, for the future of its business?
For them, I think the more concrete things are going to happen would be, so for one, right, it's they have SoftBank and Tencent Holdings as their new investors. For SoftBank in particular, I think they're quite excited because SoftBank's expertise in Japan will give them the kind of leverage they need to crack this particular market. So Japan is infamously known as like a really hard market to crack. And for Quantian, she also sees it as a pretty mature market for innovation and intelligence. So it's an area where PatSnap can really stand to gain with SoftBank's assistance. And then on the other hand, you have Tencent, right? And Tencent's expertise has traditionally been in B2B, but they're also venturing to B2C. Like Tencent's WeChat, for example, they own China's largest social platform. And for Quantian, I think she sees it as like this springboard for PatSnap to acquire more customers in the B2C space.
Right. Right, because of the increased reach that they would enjoy with the help of Tencent's WeChat, right?
Mm, exactly. So I think those are the more immediate ones, and the ones that they're really, I would say, confident in pursuing. But at the same time, they're also looking into how do they expand the value proposition and extend it to companies and in other markets, for example. So I think the example that Quantian gave, it's like financial institutions. So financial institutions need to value companies, right, in order to make like investments or issue loans, for example. But when you're talking about a future where intangible assets are more valuable than intangible assets, then how does traditional accounting methods actually account for that? So at this point, traditional accounting methods kind of struggle with it, but PatSnap's and innovation intelligence products can help fill in that gap and allow financial institutions to come up with like this, like a more accurate estimate of what these companies are worth and issue the right loans or make the right investments.
Okay. Well, I guess kind of zooming out from the PatSnap story, I guess in your opinion, what does PatSnap's recent success kind of say for other SaaS startups in Singapore?
That's a tough question, actually. Yeah, because so PatSnap's case is really quite unique. I mean, they are a SaaS startup, right? But what they're doing is quite different from like your traditional, I don't know, like traditional SaaS startups.
Mm. Right. And how is it? Is it different just primarily because they're in innovation intelligence compared to more SaaS startups that are kind of like BPOs?
Yeah, right. Because innovation intelligence itself is such a niche field.
Right. So I guess to kind of pivot that question, do you think this says anything for the innovation intelligence industry? Like, do you think a lot more players will see PatSnap's success and go, you know, I think I could do better and come up with something that could eventually rival PatSnap?
Right. So innovation intelligence is bound to grow for sure. As more companies take IP more seriously, as more efforts are being made to monitor, enforce, and like even file for IP rights, definitely. You see more innovation intelligence products and services rise in the coming years, I feel. As for whether someone can come up with a product that can rival what PatSnap is already doing, it's possible. I would say it's possible, but it's going to be very difficult because what PatSnap is already offering right now is very comprehensive. For the life sciences industry, for example, PatSnap has a proprietary tool that focuses on everything life science related. So again, it's easy to use. It's easy to use in the sense that someone who wants to find out more about a particular segment of life science simply has a key and a keyword. And from that alone, he or she can see everything that he or she needs to know from patent information to innovation landscaping, to whatever the kind of, I would say, quality in terms of product quality. It's going to take a new competitor quite a while and quite a lot of resources to match what PatSnap has already done.
Right. I guess, you know, kind of to wrap things up, you know, in your opinion, as kind of an observer of the industry, right? What do you see in PatSnap's future, and how do you feel about them attaining this kind of milestone in their startup journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think PatSnap is in a pretty strong position right now. Since 2014 up to now, like the amount of funding they receive has grown only exponentially over time, and finding new investors to invest in what they're doing, it hasn't been a big problem for them since then. And as I mentioned, in terms of the kind of products they're coming with, like in terms of coverage, in terms of quality, I don't think there's a company that can actually match what they're doing right now. And given how strong the team is, I'm confident that they can keep their growth going for the foreseeable future.
Right, right. Well, thanks, man. I guess that's pretty much it.
All right.
For more stories on PatSnap or any of the other companies that make up the Asian tech and startup scene, visit techin.asia/sub and become a Tech in Asia subscriber. Either that or subscribe to this podcast, where we're running deep dives every month. But that's it for this episode. Special thanks again to Tay Tian Wen for joining me on this episode. Let me know what you thought of today's discussion or what topics you want to see discussed in future episodes. Email me at podcast@techinasia.com or just comment wherever you're listening from. I'd love to know what you think. Till next time, my name's Nat. I'll see you in a few weeks.